Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. As founder of Green and Growing Education, Amy is excited and passionate about education, but also understands firsthand the pressure, challenges, and extreme workload that comes with being a teacher. With a career of over 12 years spanning from rural New South Wales to the City of London, her experience includes both teaching and leadership roles from preschool to year 10. However, across all educational settings, Amy noticed one common theme. Teachers are feeling stressed, unhappy, and more unsupported than ever before. After seeking out support for herself, Amy began studying human behaviour and success coaching. After learning about various coaching methodologies, positive psychology and metadynamics, and NLP, she soon realised the positive impact these tools, systems and coaching methodologies would have in any school. Igniters, here is Amy Green. Hi Amy, welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi.
I'm really excited to share your story tonight, so shall we get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Excellent. All right. So do you want to tell us what's happening for you right now?
Yeah, right now is actually a really exciting time for me. I've had a few significant changes in the last month or so. It's been a really long journey getting to where I am, a journey around figuring out who I am myself first, but then also where I want to take my business and my passion and how I can use all my learning to give back into a place where I'm really passionate and feel that that's where I need to be. So it hasn't been easy getting to where I am, but now I'm here, I know 100% that I'm in the right place. So I'm a teacher, have taught in a primary school and have also this year been teaching in a high school, but my passion really is about working with teachers. We know that teaching is a hard gig and we know that it can be really exhausting, tiring, overwhelming. The curriculum's crowded, but the amount of extra things that get put onto teachers as well is just phenomenal. It's like if there's a problem, teachers will fix it. And no one really says or asks or provides support for our teachers. The expectations get higher and higher, and the demands are more and more, but the support for our teachers isn't there. And so I'm in a place now where I'm putting together a business that is going to support our teachers so we can have great educators for great students. And I think whilst all our intentions are about having the best we can for our students and helping them be able to become who they need to be so they can be great people once they leave school, if we don't have the same support for our educators, we're not going to get it. We're not going to get where we need to be and our teachers are going to end up being burnout. We're going to lose them. Retention rates for teachers, the facts around that are really scary. The number of teachers who have poor work-life balance is really frightening. And if we don't start working with our teachers to do that, we're going to start seeing the impact of this on our students very soon.
Yeah. Sounds like you're passionate about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell us a bit about your story? So what's happened to get you to this point?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in a small town and I was the oldest of four, so I was pretty busy with them, but it was great being an older sibling and I really had a passion for teaching and learning and helping them grow, I think, and that's how I ended up in the education space. But I didn't have, in this small country town, there was nothing around us, like no university, we had to drive an hour to go to McDonald's or anything like that, so as a kid that was a big treat. And when I was 17, I finished school early and went straight to university, and that was a really big, exciting time for us. So I was the first one in my family to be able to do that. And I guess getting out of that small town made me realise that there was a whole world out there and that I wanted to experience and be a part of. And I also had an upbringing where we weren't as privileged or didn't have as many opportunities as some other families. So along the way in growing up, I developed a certain number of things that I wanted to achieve, and going to uni was definitely one of them. So I started teaching in 2000, 7. I did a little bit in Wagga and then moved to Canberra. And about 3 years into my career, I decided I wanted to move overseas. I'd always wanted to travel. I think seeing the white buildings and the blue rooftops in Santorini was a dream of mine since I was a kid. So no one in my family had been overseas before either. And October, I can't remember which year, October maybe 2011, I had an email pop up in my inbox for an interview in London. And so I went to the interview and got the job, and 2 months later I was on a plane. I moved to London and lived there for 3 years, didn't know anyone, had no idea what I was doing, had never been there before, but I knew if I didn't do it then, I would never do it. And I really wanted to travel and see the world and take in everything that I could. So I initially went there to travel and do a little bit of teaching, but being the person and the teacher that I am, I ended up teaching and traveling when I could, but being a teacher with school holidays made that pretty easy. So I came back to Australia 3 years after that and had learnt an immense amount overseas just by teaching in the UK, a very different system, but definitely in terms of professional learning as an educator, I got a lot out of it. And I did another 2 years before I started to think, I don't know what's next for me. I don't know if I can keep going. I'm passionate about education and want to stay here, but I could kind of see what was happening. I thought, I'm a teacher now. And actually I had a acting executive position for 2 years. And then, from there you go to a deputy, and from there you go to a principal, and that's kind of the end. And I thought, 5-10 years and I could be a principal and that's it. Like, I could see what my life was going to be like. And I thought, I'm not really sure I'm cut out for this. I don't know if I want to do that. So I started to look for alternatives and look for different things. And someone introduced coaching to me and said, have you thought about doing this? And I'd never thought about it before, but I knew I needed something else. It was almost like I had, a checklist for things I wanted to achieve, like go to university, get a good job, live overseas, travel, buy a house. And I ticked all the boxes and I was kind of like, what am I going to do now? Like, I was only 28 at the time. I've got so many years left. It's like, what happens now? I'd run out of boxes to tick. And that was quite daunting and confronting to be in, because up until then I'd felt like I'd been working towards things and achieving stuff and felt really good, and all of a sudden I didn't have anything to achieve. I didn't know where I was going to go. A colleague of mine introduced me to coaching, and I started studying that with the Coaching Institute in Melbourne, and that absolutely changed my life. It really helped me to understand who I was, why I did certain things, and why I thought certain ways. And then from there, things have just changed and opened up, and life's taken a lots of different turns, ups and downs. But yeah, it's been an amazing story.
Yeah, wow. So was that like a tipping point for change when you went to the Coaching Institute?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've had a few tipping points in my life. It's funny, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, what's the most recent tipping point? But as I think my life has gone on, there have been multiple ones. So going to London would definitely have been a tipping point for me. That was at that moment in time, it was a decision between I'd been offered a job, a higher up job than where I was, or I'd been offered to go to London, no idea what was happening, never been there before, didn't know anyone. And at that moment I had to choose. So that was a tipping point. Life could have gone either way. And I also think when I went to coaching, it was either I had to make a decision. Was I just going to follow the path that I could already see happening, where I was going to go, even though that was the easier option, or was I going to go and try and do something that I didn't know anything about, that was unknown, definitely harder, but could lead to more opportunity. And so I think life throws me these moments, and it throws us all these moments, but whether we choose to take the easy road where we can see where we're going, or the hard road that we don't know, ends up impacting where we end up and how we perceive how our life can be.
Yeah, very true. Did you think there were like lightning bolts or slow rumbles that instigated you to make the change?
Definitely rumblings. It's almost like rumble. It's like it is like a storm brewing. I think there's rumbles, and then all of a sudden there's a big lightning bolt. And if I ignore the rumbles long enough, life or the universe just throws me a massive lightning bolt and says, like, do you need any more? So I guess it's that there's a certain amount of things that happen along the way, and I might ignore them, or I might try and justify them or push them down, or turn them into something that they're not, and then all of a sudden a big lightning bolt will happen and it's like, no, now you start to listen.
Yeah. So what challenges did you have along the way, or do you have along the way that, you know, might make you feel like throwing in the towel?
There are challenges daily, from, you know, the small challenge of just the continual daily grind and the hustle you've got to create and keep on top of it, to staying true to your passion and what you want to do, and also thinking about how you're going to balance pursuing something and you don't really know what it is, but you know you just got to drive. So one thing that, when I think about challenges, the biggest challenge I have is myself. It's about continually believing in me and knowing I'm enough to do what I want to do. I mean, you're always going to get people's perception and judgment, but that's never really gotten in my way. Whenever I've made big decisions in my life, which we talked about earlier, I've always picked the path and had people go, what are you doing that for? Or like, are you crazy? There was definitely times, and even now as I'm making decisions, especially from my family, the perception was, but your life is perfect. Your life is great. Like, aren't you just happy? Can you just settle with what you've got? You don't need to get any more. And so that idea for some people of always striving and growing and being the best you can be is not a foreign idea, but it's almost an idea or a concept that's squished. People try and beat it out of you. And so sometimes that can make you feel like throwing in the towel. It can be really hard because you don't always have that support network around you. It can be really lonely, I think, and that can be one of the things that can make it really hard to get up and keep going every day. So I think too that what comes with that is it's slow. It's a slow process. Whilst the vision is big, the process and the progress and the results are slow. So you've got to be prepared to put in the grit and the determination despite whatever else is going on inside your head or others, and have those goals and keep going with it. Even if sometimes you think you're the only one who gets it. Like sometimes when I start talking or sharing my ideas, I really feel like I'm the only one who gets it right now. And that's okay, but you just have to keep going.
Yeah. Is that what keeps you putting one foot in front of the other, having that big vision that you've got?
Yeah, it's the big vision, and it's also thinking about what will happen if I don't do it. I feel like I've been there, like those rumbles that I've had along the way, that's been me going back to, don't think I'll do it. Oh, I don't think I'll do it. And then another lightning bolt will come and another lightning bolt will come. And I can't handle any more lightning bolts. I think I'm maxed out at that. So it's really about knowing I can't go back, and knowing it's so important to stay true to what you value and what you believe, and to be living your purpose. And as hard as that might be sometimes, I think it's harder not to than as hard as it might be to live your purpose and live what you need to do. So staying true to myself and true to my values is definitely a driver of putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. Have you had an ignition point yet when things have really started taking off for you?
I think now in the last few weeks has definitely been an ignition point for not so much taking off in terms of having business results, but taking off for myself. So finally feeling like, yep, this is it. You're on the right track. You know where you're going. Starting to do more things that are in line with this is a business now. You know the purpose, you know the vision, you know the mission, you know your target market, you know where you're aiming, you know the results you're trying to get. And so that is like I've just put the key in and turned it over. And, you know, in the last week I've released an ebook and put it out online in some Facebook groups for people to have access to. And I think in less than 24 hours I had over 100 responses to that. And for me, that just screams that what I'm doing is needed. Yeah. And so that's like the keys turned and I'm getting ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So have you had new possibilities opening up for you from all this?
Yeah, I definitely think that by saying no to something, you're saying yes to something else, and you don't always know what that something else is. So by having that really clear vision where I'm at now, it's like I'm seeing opportunities that maybe have been there all along, but I just didn't notice. And I like to think that when you do say no, it's not that you're necessarily saying no, but you're saying yes to you. And that's the exciting part. So I think what happens when you start to do that is you make new connections with people or opportunities or things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. So I've actually just been given the opportunity to partake in some action research with the team run by John Hattie, who is an amazing educational researcher, and he looks at the effect size on student outcomes and student performance. And today I actually spent some time with his team of university lecturers looking at that, and I now have the opportunity to write and deliver a program for teacher wellbeing and then measure the effect and the impact that that has on teachers' self-efficacy and then student outcomes with their support. So I think there were some things I said no to a couple of months ago, and had I not said no to them, I wouldn't have this opportunity. And I said no to things like promotions, pay rises, other stuff people would have said yes to because it's easier, and other stuff people would have said yes to because isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah.
And I just knew that that wasn't in line with me. So if you're prepared to make the change and you're prepared to, I guess, question what the path is, you'll start to have another path open up for you.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm.
So what's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to in the future?
Just getting out there and being able to talk and connect with people who really feel like I can help them. Whilst this is about, you know, building a business and creating something, it really is about helping teachers and helping our students and making sure that schools and communities and the culture within that place are positive and happy and healthy for everyone involved. And if I can do that, then we're talking about changes that last long beyond my lifetime. Yeah. And that's exciting.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, how about we have a change of pace and do the speed round?
Cool. Okay, let's do it.
What's
ready.
Your favourite book?
I kind of went for favourite authors instead.
Yep.
So I absolutely love anything by Brené Brown. I think she's amazing. Her work on shame and vulnerability and things like that, fascinating. And Eckhart Tolle for his work in spirituality in that space. And I really love Elizabeth Gilbert and the way she writes. I think Eat, Pray, Love and Big Magic were beautiful and really well-written texts. Love them.
Love those. Who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
Anyone who works at the Coaching Institute, they're all mentors and they're all brilliant people to have supporting me. I definitely wouldn't have been able to do it without them. And I have a wonderful colleague, Sam, and she's also a friend of mine. I think it's you have to surround yourself with people who get it, even if it's just one person. And for such a long time, she has been the one person that has really understood where I'm coming from, which has definitely helped. So just find that one person that can mentor you along the way. While the rest of the world might think you're crazy, if you've got one person backing you or believing in you, it helps. And my partner has been phenomenal through this as well. So I think find your network or create it if it's not there. That's really important.
Yeah. What daily ritual works best for you?
I love rituals. That like my day is a ritual. So first thing in the morning, get up, hot water, lemon, cleanse your body out, doing some kind of journaling, writing, whether it's affirmations, visionary writing, meditating, whatever that might be. I also like to exercise first thing in the morning. And I think once you do that, your brain is switched on, you've looked after your body and yourself first, and then you can throw yourself into whatever challenges come up.
What's your favourite food?
Anything, again, this comes down to rituals as well, anything that is clean, healthy, whole food. So I'm a meal prepper. I will prep all my meals on a Sunday so I don't have to worry about it during the week. And I know that everything I give to my body is nourishing and it's fuel. So food for me is fuel. And if I don't have the right food and fuel, just like in a car, you can't get from A to B. And when you're working full time and juggling a business and doing multiple other things, you really need the right fuel.
Yeah. Country or city?
A bit of both. I live in Canberra, so I think it's the best of both worlds here. The city's somewhere, but unless you're going there, you never really know where it is. So I think I grew up in the country, so I've got a soft spot for that. My partner's from Northern Ireland and has the beautiful scenery from there, which we get to visit a bit as well. But the hustle and bustle and vibe of a city can be nice sometimes too.
Yeah. What's the biggest piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change in their life?
Whatever your dreams are, dream bigger than that. Because you're only limited by you. And there's no one that can get in your way except you. So whatever it is you're dreaming of, invest in yourself first to make it happen. Go all in with it, but be patient.
Yeah, I love that. All right, last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
I really don't know about that. I don't know if I'd do anything differently. I think, actually, funny story. This year I'm trying to do a whole year without buying new clothes. So maybe one thing I would have told myself when I was younger is don't spend all your money on clothes. as a funny side note, I suppose. And the other thing would be invest in yourself early. So educate yourself as much as you can. That would be the other bit of advice. I wish someone had said to me when I was at school, you know, if you learn about yourself first, then there are so many other opportunities that come with that. And I guess that's what I'm doing as well, part of going into schools and where, whilst my passion is teachers, there is a part of me that's like, we need to start teaching what they don't teach you in school. We say it all the time. Oh, I wish they taught me that in school. Well, that's it. Let's teach it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, love that. All right. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today. Amy, would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Yeah, fantastic. You can find all my information at the moment on Facebook at Green and Growing Education. So you should just be able to search that and it'll come up, and all my details will be there.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Wonderful, thank you.
Igniters, I love Amy's passion, her passion about education and working with teachers. My key takeaway from Amy is to be prepared to put in grit and determination towards your goals and stay true to what you value, believe, and your purpose. Also, so many great takeaways like whatever your dreams are, dream bigger. And also invest in yourself. If you would like to know more about Amy, you can find her on Facebook under Green and Growing Coaching. Don't forget, if you have a desire to know more about changing your life and removing those blockers, go to ignitepodcast.com.